Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess Romero's out in Ohio preaching the word of God. Terry Barber here reporting for duty, Jess.
Terry, I'm reporting for duty from Fort Recovery, Ohio. I'm here on the
Thank you, Jesus, day
parish mission. This is day number three.
That's awesome.
And trying to gin up some new customers. How's that?
Absolutely, brother. And just a quick note, I mentioned we had matching funds over the weekend. Some people gave some big money to help us out. And we're $800 short, so that means anybody who donates $50, it's $100 up to $800. And if they can do that, then we get the full funding of the two-for-one donations. So if you call 877-526-2151, that would be fantastic, and we'll get matching funds up to $800 or go to vmpr.org. Jess, today's show, lots of good topics. I love the need-to-know file. Some of these things just make your jaw drop.
Oh, yes, you're right. Some of these things, we need to know them. Exactly. We absolutely need to know them, right?
Yeah. So one of the topics is a new book exposing the Marxist agenda of the Black Lives Matter movement. That's a book that we got to get from Catholic Vote. Also, bills targeting racially diverse topics in history in the classrooms. Another good topic to cover because we got to push back. And then this is a topic that I personally don't know anybody more than Jess Romero, who knows on the facts of smoking marijuana, how it's linked with not just a risk of strokes for young adults. It's also linked into a lot of other things that Jess is going to add to this article. And then finally, Jess, Dr. Fauci faces a call to resign. Finally, people are calling him out. And you know what I like about it? The Information Act gives us that information. He's lying through his teeth. And no, he is. He's lying. In the article, it says he's not telling the truth. That's a nice way of saying the dude's lying, Jess. Come on, be honest.
Terry, yeah, a lot of these guys, as soon as they open their mouth and their mouth starts moving, they're lying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's just what they do against the, again, why their father is the devil, Satan, the father of lies. That's what they do. The devil's involved in falsehood.
Yeah.
And so this comes quite naturally to them, Terry.
That's it. And Jess, today's feast is St. Matthew. One of the writers of the gospel, we'll be talking about that. So let's get into some soul food, because that's the most important topic of our hour with you, is giving you the gospel, the good news.
St. Matthew, pray for us. St. Matthew is one of the four evangelists. And when I say evangelist, I say evangelist with a capital E, okay? Because all of us as baptized Catholics, we're called to be evangelists with a small E, all of us. But St. Matthew is an evangelist with a capital E. Terry, the first reading is going to jump out at me. There's a lot there I want to mention in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. St. Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, one body and one spirit, as you were called to the one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, not 48,000 denominations, and one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." And when I read that, Terry, I wondered, did Martin Luther and John Calvin read that? They're supposed to be scripture scholars. I don't know how much clearer you can get that God wants one church through his son, Jesus Christ, not denominations.
Right.
And so, I mean, as you read that, one Lord, one faith, how many faiths? 48,000? No, one faith, how many types of different, one baptism. I don't know how Calvin and Luther, and Philip Melanchthon, who are supposed to scripture scholars, missed the obvious. Then it says, so when somebody says, "Oh, God doesn't love me," be quiet. It says, "But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts." So what does it mean? All 8 billion people on planet Earth have received the measure of God's grace in some way, shape, or form, because that grace is meant to bring you to the Catholic Church, to salvation through Jesus Christ. So everybody, pagan, Jew, Muslim, totem pole worshiper, everybody has received the measure of grace from God, because God is trying to build unity in the body of Christ under the lordship of his son, Jesus Christ. And now look at here, Terry. This is the office of the bishop.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's called the fivefold office of the bishop. It also applies to lay people in a secondary sense, in a lesser derivative sense. But if you want to see what is the office of a bishop, here it is. It says, "And he," this is Jesus, gave some as apostles, others as prophets, a bishop's meant to be the prophet of the diocese. Others as evangelists, the bishop's supposed to be the main evangelist of the diocese. Others as pastors, that's the Latin word for shepherd. The bishops are supposed to be the chief shepherds of the diocese. And teachers, bishops are supposed to be the chief teachers of a diocese. The word diocese is a Greek word that means territory. Why do the bishops receive this fivefold office? To equip the holy ones for the work of the ministry. Terry and me are doing what we do as lay Catholics because we're equipped by bishops. We're equipped by priests to carry on this work. Why do we do this work? There it is. For building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood to the extent of the full stature of Christ. So everything we're doing is meant to bring people under the social kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ, united with the Catholic Church, which is scattered very early on by the sin of Adam and Eve. The Catholic Church and Terry and myself and anybody that's involved in apostolic work and really all the baptized are called to bring unity, to bring back the scattered children of Adam and Eve into the one true church established by Jesus Christ, which is the bark of Peter, unto salvation. Terry, that's what today's first reading is, loaded with a lot of meat.
Thank you, Jesse, but I have to be a little bit of a spoiler here, and I'll tell you why. This is the mission of the church, and it's not to be telling us to get vaccinations, to get to wear masks when we go to church. It seems to me that if we have a biblical worldview, this is the view of what the church is supposed to be doing. And I'm not trying to be critical of all the priests or bishops who are telling us to get their mask on or get vaxxed. The point I'm trying to say is, let's get back to what our mission is. It's like a business. You've lost your charism. We got to get back to the charism of preaching Christ and Him crucified, preaching what this Bible just said, building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of faith. How do we have unity of faith when we don't preach the gospel and we preach a worldly view of hell?
Yeah.
You can't have unity.
A lot of people, and Pope Benedict in 1969, he gave a radio interview. Absolutely. And he warned about politicizing the gospel.
Yep, that's right.
He says, don't be preaching a political gospel. What we have people from the pulpit talking about wash your hands, this distance, you got to get the vax.
Repent and believe. What
happened? That's a political gospel,
yes.
Terry.
Yeah, exactly.
And Pope Benedict warned that's a danger. You cannot have that in the church.
And he also warned in that 69 interview that the church would become a remnant. And he's absolutely right. Look at how many people have left the church, even since that talk he gave on the radio in 69. Millions of Catholics are no longer practicing. And I'm going to put the blame on me. I need to be part of the problem. And that is, have I given good example? Scandal is one of the biggest problems of evangelization. But Jess, this is what I want to get back to, a biblical worldview. And I think our church needs to go back and look at, what does the Bible have to say about our mission? Because what's happening is man is influencing the church in a very bad way. That's what I see myself. Okay.
That's right. Just let's not forget also, the month of September is the month of Our Lady of Sorrows.
So powerful,
in your daily rosary, make sure you invoke her title this month. Also, St. Matthew, who was he? Matthew, or he was also called Levi. He was the apostle and the author of the Gospel of Matthew. He met Christ while he was collecting taxes at Capernaum. He worked for the Romans. Half a verse tells us a story where it says in Matthew 9:9, it says, he said to him, follow me. And he, Matthew, got up and followed him. So the moment that Matthew encountered our Lord, Matthew knowing that he was a sinner, he was captured by our Lord's presence, by his words, by his love, by his mercy. And there's depictions of St. Matthew in Christian art that capture this moment like you can't imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And he called, and so Matthew gave a great banquet for him in his house in Luke 5:29. And of course, people criticize Jesus for going over there, the Pharisees and Sadducees who are innately jealous of him. But the Gospel of Matthew, Terry, it's St. Matthew is depicted as a man, also as a sword. And again, this is the supposed instrument of his martyrdom. He apparently died a martyr. St. Matthew, pray for us.
And just a quick note, you mentioned Our Lady of Sorrows. A week ago, we had that celebration. Father Chad Ripperker made an interesting comment, Jesse, and I think you're the one who told me that. You want to share that with us about the power of that title?
Yeah, he says that Mary received mm-hmm. Our Lady of Sorrows became Our Lady of Sorrows at the foot of the cross in John chapter 19. Right. And Father Chad Ripperger says that at the foot of the cross, because she totally cooperated in the plan with God the Father mm-hmm. and offering her son back, Jesus Christ, and that was when her sword was pierced, like this, the prophecy of Simeon. At that moment, because of her full total cooperation, Father Ripperger says that in exorcism training, they teach that at that moment she received the Genesis 3:15 promise about you'll crush the head of the serpent. It was fully realized at that moment.
That's right.
God downloaded upon Mary the full authority and coercive power over Satan forever. So the Genesis 3:15 prophecy was fully fulfilled.
Awesome.
At the foot of the cross.
And Father also mentioned that's a powerful title for a novena, to expose untruths. That's another element. When we come back from our break, I want to share Bishop Sheen's quote, but it's not Bishop Sheen. You're not going to believe who's on the train with Bishop Sheen and what he has to say. It fits right into what Jess was saying from the Bible reading today. I just want to remind you also, if you want to make a donation for matching funds, we don't pitch too often, but we do have a benefactor. Call 877-526-2151, up to $800 matching, meaning you give $100, it's $200. You give $200, it's $400, up to $800. Call 877-526-2151 or go onto our website, vmpr.org. When we come back, Fulton J. Sheen's coming in on that train, and he's got a passenger that you're going to want to hear what he has to say. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I promised you that Fulton Sheen is coming in on a train with a passenger with him. Full Sheen ahead. And you know who it is? It's our own Bishop Joseph Strickland. Bishop Sheen staying on top of Strickland, because I'll tell you what, Strickland loves Fulton Sheen, and he's always giving quotes. But here's the quote that kind of sits with what we're talking about, Jesse. He did this on his Twitter, September 18th. He said, "What has happened to the land of the free and the home of the brave? Have we become the land of coerced, the home of the coward? We still claim to be one nation under God. Let us believe in him, Jesus Christ. Face it, who else can you believe in right now? Read God's word and follow Jesus Christ." Jess, I can see an evangelist saying that.
You know, again, remember what I said?
Yeah.
That's the fivefold office of a bishop.
Yeah.
He's the chief evangelist of his diocese, and I'm glad that he's evangelizing us through a virgin most powerful.
Oh, every week, folks, and so every Tuesday, like today, he'll be coming on after the Terry and Jesse Show, and it's going to be a great show every week with him. But, Jess, let's get it.
Those statements are thunderous. But you just said that he said.
Yeah, he just said.
To hear a bishop say that, it's like hearing cannons go off of a Navy ship. It really is.
Yeah, because, I mean, think about it, Jesse. Yeah.
Because of today's first reading, he has the full authority of an apostle to be an evangelist. So when he says it, it just has a lot of weight to it, a lot of gravitas.
Yeah, and he's saying, believe in Jesus Christ. Face it, who else can you believe in right now? It's not the government. And, Jesse, sometimes I don't mean to get off on this, but it fits right into this. It seems that people have so much trust in the big government, and we haven't learned from that. Every time, not just America, all around the world, governments have been the biggest disappointment in time and history. The government will fail you. And we've had presidents like President Ronald Reagan. I think he even said the enemy is the government. The problem is we put too much trust in the government.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a good quote. Terry, if you look at the study of governments and people, massive amount of people being killed all over the world. When massive amount of people get killed, they get killed by governments.
Yeah.
Government is the biggest killer of people.
And Jesse, I don't mean to go off on a tangent here, but it reminded me of Germany. Think about the 1930s. Adolf Hitler was a socialist, right? He was he was a liberal person. And what did he tell the German people? Wait, you got problems. You better be scared, because you can't even have food. Everything's a crisis. I'm your savior. I'm going to make sure that everything's going to be better. Just follow me and trust me. And look what happened to the German people. And I say the same thing in what we're talking about right now with this new book, you know, that you're talking about, Jess. This book exposes a Marxist agenda of Black Lives Matter. So God bless Catholic Vote because they're publishing this book.
Yeah, let's give credit to a guy named Mike Gonzalez. He's from the Heritage Foundation. He's a senior fellow there.
He wrote
a book. It's called The Making of a New Marxist Revolution.
Wow.
And he dives into the radical underpinnings of the Black Lives Matter movement and how the movement is exerting this horrible influence on academia.
Our kids.
Corporate America, the pop culture.
Yeah.
How? Propaganda. That's the way they work.
Yeah.
And the media, of course, the mainstream media, they don't vet them. They don't challenge them. Well, Mike Gonzalez, he used to be a former foreign correspondent journalist. He also worked for the Bush administration. But in his book, apparently he offers suggestions on how to expose the Black Lives Matter Marxist ideology. And he also gives suggestions, I guess, a couple of chapters on how to improve the lives of Black people.
Yeah.
Larry Elder has been writing about that a long time. He says, don't drop out of school. Don't have children before you get married and get a job before you get married. I mean, something like that. Yep. But Terry, this uprising all over the streets, this whole defunding the police and destroying structures and institutions here in the U.S. This was something, Terry, that we saw promoted by Antifa and the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yep,
and the author, Gonzalez, Mike Gonzalez, says that the leaders are avowed Marxists. We've said that before.
Jesse, back up for a minute, because remember when their website talked about the family, the nuclear family, and we quoted right on their website?
Yeah, they said that we had to destroy the nuclear family. And they got criticized even by the Black community, and they had to take it off. But the three founders of Black Lives Matter, they're three female Blacks who are lesbians, witches, and all of them say we're trained Marxists.
Yep, that's right.
And so what they did, Terry, they seized on the killing, on the death of George Floyd. They seized on that. They took advantage of that, and they started their movement, this powerful community organizing movement funded by a bunch of billionaires.
Oh, yeah.
And this whole movement, they took the phrase Black Lives Matter to basically give them political cover, because they're going to say, yeah, people aren't going to say anything about Black Lives Matter. Nobody's going to disagree. And so that's how they were able to rally support on this whole defunding the police. But Terry, just to show you how really dangerous this group is.
Yes.
Mike Gonzalez says that the Black Lives Matter movement has staged 12,000 political demonstrations in the U.S., and it had 633 riots to overturn the social order. This is all the community organization strategy and then brainchild of Saul Alinsky.
That's right.
Continued by Barack Obama and continued by the Clintons and the Democrats, Terry.
And Jesse, what I like about it is in one of his chapters, he talks about the BLM agenda as the latest expression of a failed Soviet infiltration of the 1960s. And even before that, what was the mode, Jesse? We actually played a clip from a guy who used to be part of that movement. He said, divide Americans against each other in the 20th century, black and white. Start getting people angry at each other. You know what they don't want to see? My neighbor, who's an African-American, having a dinner over at my house. They don't want to see that.
That's right.
Unity. And you know what, Jesse? I'm just going to say it real quick here. America has millions of people wanting to come into America, people from outside America.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
And if this was such a racist country, why would they want to come in? Because it's not. It's just they're trying to make this bigger than what it is so that they can divide and conquer. They want basic capitalism to be taken out and put in socialism, Marxism. That's their goal.
Terry, Black Lives Matter, the whole movement's predicated on lying
and
false information.
That's right.
And Gonzalez, the author, he says that the Black Lives Matter Marxist agenda, what they would do, they want to replace the American narrative.
That's right.
That this country is, again, just a systematically racist country.
Middle class, and, get rid of the middle class.
You get rid of the middle class, and we have just a horrible legacy of slavery.
Yep.
Again, Black Lives Matter, just like Antifa, these are American Marxists.
Yep.
And they're taking, you know, these guys are taking money from foreign interests like, you know, George Soros and others.
Big time.
And they're being paid by these foreign, you know, some of these foreigners to destabilize this country through racial fear mongering. That's what they're trying to do. And they're, again, they're even trying to implement this into the schools, which brings me to the next topic, which is a bit of good news here.
Yeah.
You got a couple of Republican senators, Marco Rubio, Kevin Cramer from North Dakota, Mike Braun from Indiana. They're introducing a bill into Congress. It's called Protect Equality in Civics Education, the Peace Act. And this is to discourage the teaching of the divisive concepts found in the critical race theory, CRT, in the U.S. classrooms under the Department of Education's American History. Of course, the legislation has to, you know, this was what was President Trump was pushing. And he, in fact, he signed an executive order on this.
Exactly. And then his Biden took it away.
Yeah, his executive order was called Combating Racist Sex Stereotyping.
It's awesome.
Biden took it away pretty much on day one. And Marco Rubio and these other Republican senators, they know he's not going to sign off on it. But again, you can't stop trying. They're at least going to propose it and let the nation see. Biden struck it down. He didn't sign it. So we could see that Biden is basically for this critical race theory. And he's for all this Marxist education. Terry, and you know what? There's another article I could have got, but I didn't. And I'll get it probably another day.
Sure.
There's just a whole article of the whole history of Biden's racist statements.
Oh, yeah.
If there's somebody sitting in the White House that you can... I mean, this guy spoke at a KKK funeral of that Senator Byrd.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a YouTube clip of him saying one thing after another about blacks.
It's horrible.
Yeah. So, yeah, go ahead, Terry.
But let me just say this, Jess, that your point is well taken. The idea... I remember as a child, okay, here I grew up in the 60s, and I went to a Dodger Stadium, and that was the first time I saw an African-American person, a man with black skin. And I asked my dad, I was about 4 or 5 years old, I said, Daddy, why is that man's skin black? And my dad came back and said, Terry, because that's the way God made him. He made brown skin, black, white skin, we're all God's children. Here's the point. They need to learn from my old man, from my father. He taught me at 4 or 5 years of age that there's no difference between men and women in the sense of their color. They're all God's children. And if we got to go back to that, because what's happening is these people are trying to undermine America so that we're at each other's throat, so they can bring in a Marxist approach without God. And so that's why when you see this stuff in the school systems, you got to stand up and say no. And more people are doing that. We're pushing back. And these senators that are putting this bill in are going to actually, this is going to help many of us, Jesse, realize how bad it is in our schools. Many people don't realize that.
Yeah. Senator Marco Rubio, I tip my hat off to him. He's really starting to flex his muscles. He was kind of quiet under the Trump administration, but he's really coming out there and defending conservatives and patriots and people of faith. He's also somebody I respect, Harry, because he tries to go to daily mass.
Yeah.
And what he does on his Twitter account, he'll tweet a daily Bible verse from the mass reading. So again, my hat's off to him. But again, he's co-sponsoring this bill with other Republicans because, again, this bill contends that critical race theory teaches that the United States is a systematically racist country, requiring white children to see themselves as privileged oppressors. I mean, they almost have to say that in the classroom, and black children as victims. This is not good for anybody, Terry. Critical race theory teaches young people to distrust each other at a time when the country needs unification, just like the first reading of St. Paul. We need unification, not division. Division comes from Satan. Marxism comes from Satan. Unification comes from Christ. And the other senator, Braun, he said in a statement, he said, and Cramer also added that CRT creates a new inequality among young children from a young age. Critical race theory is antithetical to the American ideal that we're all created equal, and it should never be endorsed, much less funded by the Department of Education.
Hey, Jesse, I just ran into a 96-year-old black man, African-American, World War II vet. He's got his hat on saying, I'm World War II vet, with his grandson in line at the grocery store. I went over to him. I thanked him. I said, man, it's because of people like you that I have my freedom today. And I just want to thank you. And man, this is the greatest nation ever. He's 96 years old. He's appreciating what he has here. And he's the one who laid his life on the line in World War II to defeat the Nazis in Germany. And here he is at 96 years of age telling me how great America is. Hey, you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Those are the kind of guys that make me proud to be an American, Jess Romero. Wow. Hey, folks, don't forget we got matching funds. Give us a call for fundraising, 877-526-2151. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I got a call from Bread of Life Radio at Ohio this morning, so I want to say hi to all the folks there. Jesse's in Ohio right now doing a parish mission.
Shout out to Bread of Life Radio. I want to also give a shout out to the parish I'm at, Mary Help of Christians. Absolutely. Hope you're all listening here in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Thank you, Father Ned and Father Michael, for allowing me to come and share the gospel there.
Jesse, are we finished with that, or do we want to kitnet with our marijuana talk?
Yeah, we're done. Okay. Talk about marijuana over in the Netherlands.
Yeah, smoking marijuana linked with a higher risk of stroke and young adults, study finds. Before I say this, Jess, you wrote a book years ago on marijuana, and I just got to hit it three times. I want people to know that they can go to jesseromero.com. Pick up his book. It's like 50 questions. Just talk a little bit about that book.
It's simple. I wrote it thin and simple because that's what people will read.
Of course.
It's called 50 Questions and Answers on Marijuana.
Yeah.
And I answer people's questions on the biblical, on the philosophical, medical, science, federal law, natural law, and common sense, and sociological studies of prisoners. So again, I think it's a complete response to this topic. Terry, this is growing like a weed all over the country, unfortunately. Yep. And Europe is, I mean, it started here in America, and it's now starting to be embraced all over Europe. You know, Belgium, Netherlands, all the Dutch countries. It doesn't surprise me.
No. Hey, Jesse, I want to talk about this article, though, because it's basically linking the marijuana smoking with young people to the effect of having blood pressure problems, heart attacks, strokes, lots of medical issues. And, you know, Jess, I'll just want you up front with this. Those are issues, don't get me wrong, but I think the biggest issue about marijuana, and I've said this every day to you or when I talk to you about marijuana, is when people get high, they lose their ability of free will to choose good and to avoid evil. It's like getting drunk. And so that's a serious sin when you start losing your free will on your own. You shouldn't be doing that. That's offense against God. No, and the other effects of it, drinking too much, you ruin your liver. Smoking marijuana, it seems from all the statistics, Jesse, it shrinks your brain. It makes all kinds of problems physically. But most importantly, it can really lead to a soul going to hell.
Yeah. Let me talk about some of the spiritual implications, but this article does a good job. It's the guy's name, Dr. Alan Barber. I don't know if he's related to Terry.
Alan Barber. I don't know him.
Okay. So he's a professor of clinical neurology. In this article, he does a great job of connecting all the medical problems with marijuana usage. Mm-hmm. Talks about the risk of strokes, the risk of TIA's attacks. High cholesterol, high blood pressure. So again, he does a good job of connecting the dots, heart palpitations, problems with the heart, you know, as a result of cannabis, atrial fibrillation, risk of stroke. So again, I give him props for the good work that he done on the medical aspect, but a lot of people never talk about the spiritual aspect. And I think that's where I provide some balance in this topic. First of all, why is intoxication wrong? Why is drug abuse wrong? Well, I'm going to do a deep dive here. This is straight from St. Thomas of Aquinas. He says this in the Summa. He says, since humans are soul body composites, the soul is indeed supplied with phantasms by bodily organs, such as sense organs, which send information to our brain. Thus, damage to those material organs can hinder the spiritual intellect. That's what Terry was talking about. Mm-hmm. Can hinder the spiritual intellect from forming new ideas and performing intellectual operations, such as judgment and reasoning. So what did he just say? Is that when you become intoxicated, what it does, it suspends your ability to use right reason and good judgment. There is not one drug addict that I know, Terry, and again, marijuana causes intoxication. It's a gateway drug. The fact is that how are we made in the image and likeness of God? Yep. Well, St. Thomas and Christian tradition tells us it's a rational intellect is what makes us in the image and likeness of God, because humans, we use logic and we use reason. That's right. And rational thought. We have an intellect. For example, humans play chess. Animals don't play chess.
Nope.
Humans follow the rules of grammar. Humans build bridges. Humans paint images. Why? Humans go back and forth to the moon. Why? Because of our logical, rational intellect, which is the greatest gift that God gave us. That's what he granted to the human species. And what happens is intoxication, it dulls.
Yep.
It dulls. It blurs the great gift of the intellect. That's why it's sinful. That's why being intoxicated with alcohol or any drugs has been condemned by the Catholic Church, by scripture and tradition. It goes all the way back to the time of Moses, the condemnation of people getting intoxicated and compromising their reason and their intellect, Terry.
And that's why I tell people to go to jesseromero.com to get his book, because you got a lot more information on this. Maybe your son, your daughter smoking dope. Sorry, Jesse, I call it dope because that's, yeah. I'm old school.
Yeah, well, that's what it, Terry, that's what it does.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer. I mean, that's what Father Calloway calls it.
Yeah.
I mean, because how can you use common sense and right reason if your ability to think is hampered, it's hindered, it's altered, it's impossible. That's why, again, I think the study I read, 85% of people that are locked up in prison right now, looking at four walls and bars in front of them and with a steel toilet and a magazine and doing push-ups throughout the day, those guys, 85% of them committed their crime under the influence of alcohol, drugs, or a combination thereof.
Makes sense.
And so, again, the point of the matter is, this is why the Bible over and over and over again, St. Paul keeps talking about put on the mind of Christ.
Amen.
You think Christ is gonna be walking around intoxicated? No, he's God. He's perfect. You know, the Bible tells us, you know, be transformed by the renewal of your mind that you may discern what is the will of God. How can you know the will of God if you're intoxicated?
Exactly.
You can't.
Nope.
St. Paul says, take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. How can you take your thoughts captive to Christ if you're under the influence? And here's the last argument that I use with young people.
Tell me.
Because, you know, a lot of them, they go to these, you know, marijuana websites, and they're quoting Dr. Quack and Dr. Pot and Dr. Loser and Dr., you know, Dr. Lodi.
Yeah.
So here's what I say. Okay, you're a practicing Catholic. I'm a Catholic. I said, okay. I said, so the goal of a Catholic, would you agree, is to get to heaven, right? Yes, Mr. Romero. So how do you get to heaven? You got to be holy. Yes, I agree. Okay, here's my question. It is impossible to become holy and live in a state of grace and use right reason if you're under the influence of anything.
It's that simple, Jesse.
And you know what? And young people, they'll say, that's your best argument, Mr. Romero.
Yeah.
That's your best argument, because I'll argue with what Dr. So-and-so said about cholesterol and all. But they'll say, that's your best argument. And I'll tell you why, Terry. The Bible's very clear.
Yeah.
The Bible wants us to live a sober-minded, a sober life.
That's right.
And so sobriety is the opposite of intoxication. So, you know, I mean, my favorite spiritual warfare verse, I quote it all the time when I go places, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober and watchful.
Amen.
Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Now let's look at this. So the first thing that St. Peter says on spiritual warfare is be sober.
Yep.
That's the first command on spiritual warfare. You can't fight temptation, ordinary or extraordinary, if you're intoxicated. So that's the first point. Second point, in verse 9, St. Peter says to resist the devil. You can't resist the devil If you're intoxicated, you must be sober to resist the devil's ordinary attacks or extraordinary attacks. Terry?
Yeah, see, I want to mention the good to know file, and we'll probably end up taking a little of the next segment, but this blows me away. New York, California hospitals reverse religious exemption denials after workers fight vaccine mandates. This is in Pomona, California, 5 miles from where I live. The hospitals there are backtracking on hundreds of previously denied religious exemption requests. And so all these, this is the Pomona Valley Hospital, reversed its decision made earlier this month. And the bottom line, Jesse, in all of this is they're going to have shortage problems. They can't manage their operation at the hospital if these people walk off. So 5 days later, they came back and said, hey, we decided to approve everybody because, yeah, by the way, we need you here at work because we can't make any money. We can't operate without you. So what's the message here, Jess? The message to me is if we stand united with people saying, no, we're not going to, these are doctors or nurses, people who are in the medical field. Just not too long ago, a year ago, they were our heroes, Jesse. Now they're being fired. You get it?
Unbelievable. What's the difference? Wow. The government's turned their back on them.
You got it. That's the point I'm making. And there's much more of need to know files, but this is an article.
Hey, here's a couple I can share.
Yeah, hit them.
No files. Here. It says, one, most Democrats support school choice to avoid the COVID tyranny. That's good news. That comes from Gavin. Yeah. So again, most Democrats support school choice to avoid the COVID tyranny for their children. That's great news. Here's another bit of good news for your need to know file.
Yeah.
Arizona is the first state that sued Biden's administration over the vax mandate. Yeah. Now we have 19 other governors that have jumped in as well. That's good news.
Yeah.
That's a move in the right direction. Here's another one. It's going to be actually in a few days, it's going to come out completely, but here's a teaser. Bombshell. Arizona ballot audit has finally revealed what we suspected all along.
Oh, my God.
There was enough tainted ballots to wipe out Biden's victory. That's going to come out officially in a couple of days.
Wow.
I gave you a teaser since
that's a huge news.
Ad. Yeah.
Good to know.
And that's a good one for the need to know file. And here's another one, Terry. 125 employees of Indiana's largest hospital system walk out.
That's over right. Vaccine. All over the country, this is happening. This is what I call the pushback. We have a professor here in California. He's an amazing man that's been on our show. I want to tell you what he did. We'll have more with the Terry and Jesse show. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse show. I got to tell you, Jess, I see you going all over the country, even in spite of the COVID restrictions, preaching the word of God. Everywhere Jesse goes, he talks about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We pick up new listeners. Souls are touched. And, you know, the sacrifices that you make, Jess, thank you. And I know our Lord is blessing you and Anita because it ain't easy, you know, going to hotels, getting on planes, putting your mask on the plane. You got to do what you got to do, man. And I know that would kill me, you know, but anyhow, I would thank you for that. But Jess, you have a couple more, a need to know file. You were saying, did you have another one? If not,
no, that was it, Terry.
Cause I got it. One more that I just want to mention.
Go ahead.
And this is a California professor taking a bold stand. He sues his university over the vaccine mandate. Now, Dr. Aaron Karate, he's been on our radio show. He's a friend of the Virgin Most Powerful, and he's the professor of psychiatry at the University of California, Irvine, where my daughter went to school. And he just said this, it's become clear to me that if I, as a medical ethicist, I didn't stand up and try to represent those voices, then those folks would be steamrolled by these policies. And he's absolutely right. Now, he's a very devout Catholic man. And I saw the court case. And guess what, man? He's making progress. But again, the pushback needs to come not just from the hoi polloi, but politicians, doctors, nurses, firemen, policemen. We all have to make our stand that, hey, we're not against the vaccine. What we're against is mandating it for everybody. Vaccines we've used for all kinds, but not this one. We don't want it. We have to have free will to say we don't want it. So this is the big point for your good to know file is get more people to say, look, I've made a decision. My personal preference is not to have it. You can't force it on me. And if you do, like I had some people this morning, make sure you write a letter to your employer saying, if something happens bad to me because of this vaccine, I want you to know I'm doing this under duress and I'm going to hold you responsible.
Amen. Terry, just want to mention another bit of good news.
Yeah.
That there's an organization of canceled priests called the Coalition of Canceled Priests.
Father Love, he's a good man.
They're like
John Love.
Unionizing, you know. Yep. These are good holy priests like Father Altman, yes, and Father Love Ellen, many others,
yes,
that are banding together, Terry, and they're fighting back. They're awesome. Not going away quietly.
Awesome.
Because they've been suspended for doing the Latin Mass or, again, for just preaching Orthodox homilies. So it's good to know that they are grouping together nationally.
They need to.
They've got a website. It's called Coalition for Canceled Priests. And they're having their own rallies and conferences and stuff and just trying to raise awareness that people have to start writing to the bishops, knocking at the bishop's door and asking the bishops to be accountable for their actions of not getting rid of people that truly need to get, be dismissed from the church. And why are they getting rid of these good priests? So that's good news that these priests are banding together, and it's called the Coalition of Canceled Priests.
Well said. Jesse, let's talk about Dr. Fauci.
Yeah, Terry, sometimes I want to call him Dr. Fauci,
yeah,
but I want to be nice. I'm Catholic, so yeah. I'm not gonna call him Fauci.
Mm-hmm.
I'll call him Fauci, but he's an apostate Catholic, I will tell you that.
Yeah, that's for sure.
He's an apostate. He's facing calls for resignation because of the shocking reports about the U.S. government-funded Wuhan research. They know, Terry, the cat's in the bag. They know that, again, Dr. Anthony Fauci is the director of the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. The buck stops with him when it comes to medicine and under the federal government. It really does. He's been the chief medical advisor to five presidents, including unelected Joe Biden. And now he's facing calls to answer for a shocking report that was published by Intercept.
Tell us how we got that, Jesse, because of the Freedom of Information Act is what really we have.
It was by the Judicial Watchers.
They're good people, man. They're good people.
Great group of people that I'm glad they're out there.
I'm supportive.
But that's why they were able to get a hold of this information through and the information is called the gain of function research. And it was research that that Fauci's organization, federal organization,
right,
the National Institute of Health, funded over in China at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So there's no doubt, even Pompeo, Secretary of State Pompeo under President Trump, very early on, Terry, he said, I got to give him credit. By the way, he's a good Catholic guy. He said, this came from the Wuhan lab in China.
Yep.
So the Trump administration very early on put that out. The facts are in. Fauci's in trouble again, but the mainstream media covers for him.
Yep.
So what is gain of function? I'll just give you a layman's understanding of gain of function. It's taking a virus and making it stronger. Why would you want to make a virus stronger? Let me give you an example. McDonald's. Everybody's been to McDonald's. They say, you want French fries? Yeah, I want French fries. Then they'll say, you want them supersized? Yeah, give me them supersized. Or you go to In-N-Out. You want a little cheeseburger? Yeah. No, I don't. I want a double cheeseburger, a monster burger, and they pack it on. That's what gain of function means, is when you take a virus, Terry,
yep,
and basically you put it on steroids. Why would anybody do that? Talk about, and again, this is why many good doctors are saying, guys, open up your eyes.
Exactly.
This is a this is the bio war against the citizens of this world. Terry, take it away.
Yeah, you know, just that's just the facts of what it is. And the thing about it is, as you said, President Trump talked about this early on and everybody poo-pooed him. And I'll never forget when they go, maybe he got this one right. You think? The facts are the facts. But here's the big thing. I'm convinced if they take this into a court of law and everything, you have all these depositions out and everything is all spread out. And
he's going down. Fauci's going to go down.
He's going to go down. And again, many of the people, see, here's the thing. He's been with this for, what, five different presidents. I think when you have too much power, it corrupts people. We've said that for day one, ever since history. And this man has been able to do things without anybody correcting him. So, of course, he's going to feel like, hey, you know what? I can make some money on this virus. So I'll invest into the businesses that are doing this work. And now it's to my advantage. See, the problem is he's got a conflict of interest. He's manipulating the facts. And I just say that's lying, but that's what he's doing. And I think that it's time that our government looks into him and says, okay, let's put him on the stand and let's interrogate this and let's get the facts out so that the public can see how we were duped by him.
Terry, an evil person, Fulton Sheen says, is somebody who has power.
That's right.
And uses his power to maximize damage. I'll tell you the two most evil persons in the United States based on Fulton Sheen's definition, and they're both Catholics, Biden and Fauci. They're the two most powerful men in the United States. They're apostate Catholics, and they use their positions of power, Terry, yeah, to hurt people, to maximize damage, upon a free society. The article talks shares about another doctor, Dr. Richard Elbright, a molecular biologist at Rutgers and an expert on all of this. He said this, Dr. Eber said, the materials confirm the grants given by Fauci to the Wuhan virus, to the Wuhan lab,
that the
grants supported the construction in Wuhan of novel chimeric SARS-related coronaviruses that combine a spike gene from one coronavirus with genetic information from another coronavirus and confirmed the resulting viruses could infect human cells. He says, his doctor says, the materials reveal that the resulting novel laboratory-generated SARS-related coronaviruses also could infect mice engineered to display human receptors on cells. Imagine humanized mice. So that puts Dr. Fauci, Terry, on the spotlight. Dr. Ebright even suggested that Fauci was being untruthful in his remarks to the Senate.
That's another nice way of saying he's a liar, Jeff.
Yeah, that doctor wasn't buying anything he said.
Oh.
And thanks be to God, Terry, we have some Republicans that have a backbone.
Yeah.
Several Republicans have suggested that Dr. Fauci must face a full investigation and be totally honest about his agency, the NIH, their involvement in funding research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. You got Representative Jim Jordan. I'm in his state right now. Everybody loves him out here. He's also suggested that Dr. Fauci is hiding something and should face an investigation. You got former White House turned congressman Ronnie Jackson, Republican from Texas. He also demanded that Dr. Fauci be terminated from his role as a top health advisor to the president and be able to answer senators' questions. You also have Senator Josh Hawley, another Republican from Missouri. He had the harshest criticism. He's demanding that Dr. Fauci step down right now immediately. And Senator Rand Paul, Terry,
I've been
impressed with that man for years, Terry.
And Rand Paul, Jesse, on YouTube, interrogated him, and it was an outstanding one. All you got to do is go to YouTube and type in Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci, because I'll tell you why.
That Fauci.
Yeah, well, he's a Fauci to me. And I'm sorry, Jess, because he's earned it.
Okay.
He's earned it. He's earned the cynicism of us, because what he's done, he's been maligning this country with falsehood, and I think it's time to call the guy out for what he is.
That's right. It's, my wife called him Dr. Fauci as well, but it's in the house here.
Yeah, well, I had to say that, and I'll tell you why. Because I'm tired of being manipulated, where a man's going to become a billionaire at the cost of people. And he's just hoodwinking us.
I've actually read that he's not part of the Billionaires Club. I actually read that.
No, I read that too.
I'll read the article.
No, it's true. Yeah. I saw that same thing. That's why I say he's made so much money on this. I'm so sorry. You know, this guy's made money on the lives of so many people.
Yeah, he's up there with Bill Gates. He's up there with the George Soros and the Rothschilds, the Bilderbergs. Yeah. And so again, he's part of the Billionaires Club now. And Terry, he's a medical doctor. Don't get me wrong. Doctors get paid good money, but no doctor becomes a billionaire.
That's right.
Not one doctor becomes a billionaire. And just like no politicians,
I was just going to go there. You took it right out.
Biden and Fauci have used, again, good jobs, a senator, medical doctor. They get a good salary. They have a good living wage. They live well, but they're not millionaires or billionaires. Both of these guys, they've basically known how to play the game and use their positions to become billionaires. That's sick, Terry.
I agree.
Absolutely sick.
I believe in the early part of our country, they had to have a term limit, and this is what we should do on all of our politicians, because what happens is when they get in too deep, the power they have, it corrupts them. That's my take. Jess Romero out in Ohio, preaching the word of God at a parish mission. Terry Barber in California, trying to hold down the fort here in California. Getting kind of tough, but you know what? With Jesus Christ at our side, Our Lady there, and our guardian angel, we got this covered, Jess.
That's Jesse. Right. With Jesus in our heart, with a rosary in one hand, with a Bible in another hand, Catholics, fear not. Rush the battle lines.
You got it.
We got this. We got this.
And up next, we have Bishop Joseph Strickland, the most outspoken bishop in America, on Virgin Most Powerful, I might add. We got him. That was a blessing. And you're going to enjoy an hour with him. The bishop is in. We'll be back with that right after this quick break. I want to thank you for the donations people are making. It's matching funds right now. Call 877-526-2151 or go to VMPR. Thank you for your donation. God love you. Full sheen ahead.